Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Paul Reed Smith and the Maryland Hall team are offering a live virtual 4-day music camp from August 10th to 13th, 2020. Open to musicians and enthusiasts of all ages, be ready for a fun experience of learning music with the greats, all from the comfort of your own home. The school's teachers are top professional musicians, to include renowned guitar maker Paul Reed Smith, legendary drummer Dennis Chambers, YouTube guitar teaching experts Tim Pierce and Tyler Larson, along with session directors Gary and Greg Granger, known worldwide as the Granger Brothers, as well as some of Maryland's best. Tuition is $100 per person for all 4 days of all masterclasses, and will be live streamed from Maryland Hall in Annapolis, Maryland, between 11 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. each day of the event. This is a live event, live streamed to anyone with a phone, tablet or computer, so you have the opportunity to ask questions via the web chat to the teachers. Registrants also have a chance to win a brand new PRS guitar each and every day of the event. On top of that, the entire event will be available once the camp is concluded in a condensed format to those who have registered, so you won't miss out if you're unavailable for part of the schedule or have to take a break. Visit MarylandHallMusicSchool.com or follow links in the description of this podcast. This week, Guitar Nerd is sponsored by Solid Gold FX. Solid Gold FX are a Canadian effects pedal powerhouse making boutique goodies that we at Guitar Nerds really think are worth a spot on your board. Across the board, Solid Gold FX offer high quality, originality and affordability with a range so comprehensive that there is definitely a pedal that they make that you, dear listener, should purchase. Looking for fuzz? Well, there are 8 different fuzzes in their range. From the dual tone bender circuits of the communication breakdown to the modulating polyphonic octave down synth fuzz of the Lysis. And of course, it doesn't stop there. There's so many cool, interesting, unique effects. The countercurrent, a momentary feedbacker and delay for 8-track garage rock ambience. The Funkzilla for a super controllable ultimate envelope filter for rhythmic funk quack. Check out solidgoldfx.com for more information on their entire line of pedals. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Reverend Guitars, and we are very happy about that because we really love Reverend. Well-built, affordable, unique, extremely cool, retro with modern sensibilities. Recently we've had a Jetstream 390 and a Greg Koch Gristlemaster sent to us from Merchant City Music in Glasgow, and we've loved them both. The Jetstream is a gorgeous Reverend original jaggedly shaped retro offset with 3 specially voiced P90 pickups and a deliciously roasted maple neck. The Gristlemaster is an oversized T-style guitar with the incredible sounding Fishman Tele pickups, a Firebird style ramp and a tonal palette so broad you'll never need another guitar. Seriously, their range is massive. Choose from a fantastic spread of bolt-on set necks, basses, and unique signature models. If you love guitars and you love this podcast, then I'm afraid you're going to need one. Check them out at reverendguitars.com. How Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Brandon, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Jay Cross.
Hi.
There we go.
You sound like you're going to laugh, Joe.
No, I was just happy that I got everyone's name correct this week because that has been causing me nightmares. I have one of those things where
Matt Nightmares or Matt Clarkmares.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, in fairness, Matt Knight, Matt Clark drives a DeLorean, which is pretty cool.
He used to
drive a London cab, not as a cab. He had it because he liked the look of them, but people kept trying to get in, so he bought the DeLorean instead. That's the true story.
And what, unless people wanted to get in the DeLorean, but everyone wants to get in the DeLorean.
Yeah, of course. Well, I don't know how much he drives the DeLorean anymore. He said it broke down all the time.
I think... you know, every hobby has its ultimate nerd. You know, guitars have guitar nerds. Cars have Jay Leno. And Jay Leno's garage, or garage, is one of the most... he has got 300 cars. And I watched one on DeLorean, and someone brought one in, and they were like, it's actually a really crap car.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. It's quite noted as being terrible.
Yeah, but the only reason they went for a DeLorean is because the original choice of time travel device for Back to the Future was a fridge. But they were concerned that children would lock themselves in fridges.
Because
bit of movie trivia, obviously, for those of you who haven't seen Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Whoa, spoiler alert.
That film doesn't exist.
No, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is a terrible movie, and if you haven't seen it, doesn't matter.
What are we talking about? It's the best one. Harrison Ford's best movie.
Spoiler alert, there is a scene where Indiana Jones gets in a fridge and survives a nuclear explosion.
Which is impressive.
Which was how Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly, and the Doc were going to time travel in Back to the Future originally.
Both of them in one fridge.
Yes. Basically, what had happened was is they had a fridge.
Imagine how less dramatic that would have been.
I know. So the fridge went back to 1955.
How does a fridge go 88 miles an hour?
Well, there was no 88 miles an hour. It's just a fridge. So...
I don't feel that they thought this through.
Yeah, and no, so the original timeline was that they somehow went back to 1955, got stuck, and the only way to generate enough power for the fridge to go back to 1985 was that he would have to get in it in Nevada during a nuclear test, and that would generate enough power to get him back to 1985.
Wow. So that, right. Well, they really.
That is a totally different plot line.
Yeah, they totally rewrote that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they
much prefer the him getting it on with his mum plot line. I thought that was better.
Joe, spoiler.
Oh, damn it.
That's DeLoreans for you. That's a long segue between Matt Clark, DeLoreans, and Indiana Jones.
Yes, well, anyway.
And that's why you've joined the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Yes, dear listener, welcome. I hope you enjoyed the start of this podcast where we haven't talked about guitars at all. Anyway, at the start of the podcast, we always like to introduce our new patrons. And of course, it's the start of a new month for us, certainly when we're releasing this. So it's interesting to see all of the new patrons that come in. So we've got Kyle Harris, who has moved up to the $10 tier. Welcome,
a legend.
Kyle.
Bah, 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 bah.
An absolute legend. And adding to the names, you know, I had to re-record the last song like three or four times because now in sort of the way I sing it, sort of the pentameter I need to be... Is that the right word? Probably.
Sorry?
Not. The rhythm at which I need to say the names or sing the names barely allows for the amount of names I have in there. So with the addition of Kyle, it's going to become even harder. So I either have to change the song or sing faster, basically. So I'm going to see what I can do. Also, welcome to Todd Oakland and to Marius Backman. Thank you
very
much.
Two more legends.
Yes, thank
you
very much.
Where are we at, Joe?
Oh, we are within $50 of mod mode, which is why I actually stopped. Well, we all started planning it this week.
Which is why Mark Packham hasn't been on the podcast for the last 3 weeks because he's
been preparing.
Finally, no, because he's finally realised that he might have to reap what he sowed.
He sold the guitar, and now he needs to try and get it back.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, we do. Yeah, we are sort of faced with a small problem that Mark won't leave his house, and we need to get the mod mode guitar from Mark somehow. But I'm sure it's all going to come out in the wash. I'm looking forward to mod mode. I think it's going to be exciting. I was looking at like weird accessories, like things I could mod on it the other day. Obviously, we're going to fit an Atari kill switch somewhere. But
of course,
I want to fit it somewhere ridiculous. You know,
back of the headstock.
No, like underneath the strings in between the two pickups.
I was thinking underneath the strings in between the pickups.
So inconvenient for everything. Especially as I'm not sure that those guitars are swimming pool routed. So you'd then have to route a hole in the middle of the body.
We'll see.
Just we'll work it on mad guitars and I was going to say stupid, but it's not stupid. Did you see that Manson made Matt Bellamy a violin bass, but with all of his like crazy stuff in it?
Oh, that's wonderful. I love Manson. That's such a cool thing. Yeah. How did they fit it all into a violin bass body? That's impressive.
Oh, I mean, it's already hollow. Not like they have to take a lot of wood out.
I guess so. They're just small.
Yeah. I think I was trying to find the post about it, but yeah, it was just like it's got like a fuzz factory and all sorts of mad stuff in it.
So is he playing bass in a band now, or is that just for like knocking about at home?
Probably just for knocking about at home. I mean, one of the marketing pictures is him on what looks like a unicorn like floaty device for a swimming pool. What are they called?
Sorry? Oh, like a
Lilo.
A Lilo, that's it. Okay. Probably in his like nice house.
Manson Mansion.
I've just found the picture. So yeah, it is basically a violin bass where, by the looks of it, the entire binding, it's black with white binding. All the binding lights up for a start, which is incredible. Yeah, so it's LED body binding with a light-up headstock logo in jet black with a chrome pickguard. But it's got the original, still got like the original sort of bridge on it.
The wooden bridge with fret wire making the actual.
Yeah, it looks like that. Although, to be honest, probably I'm going to imagine that Manson's probably made some sort of changes to it.
Yeah.
No, Jay, actually, he is playing bass in a band.
Oh, yeah.
He is playing in a band called the Jaded Hearts Club Band, which I think is him. It's who's
Ben
that?
Affleck. Just trying to
load it. It's Ben Affleck.
Oh yeah, no, I've just found it up. So it's I've just got the Wikipedia page up here. So it's Graham Coxon, Miles Kane from the band The Last Shadow Puppets, Nick Jester. Not sure how to pronounce their name of the band Jet, and the drummer of the Zootons, and Jamie Davis from another one of Graham Coxon's bands, who I don't know. But yeah, six people. That's a lot of people in a band, isn't it? Two lead singers.
Oh, and Matt Bellamy on bass. It sounds
they all
like
sing. They all sing. All or like there's two lead singers, and then the other four people in the band all do backing vocals.
Wow.
Like a polyphonic spree. Oof.
Yeah.
Past members, Paul McCartney.
Oh, my goodness.
Did Matt Bellamy replace Paul McCartney?
Is that where it's a violin bass?
I guess it must be.
To listeners who are screaming at the audio, knowing exactly what this band is. It feels so famous that we should know about it, but I've never heard
Yeah,
of
no,
this,
this is 2017 they started, apparently.
Wow.
But they released their first album this year, live at the 100 Club.
I would pay not to listen to that. But yeah,
I think the bass does look absolutely wicked, though. With LED body binding, that is just
Stop calling it that. That sounds like
body binding. No, I like it. It sounds great. Body binding. Yeah. I tell you what, this is past members listed on this Wikipedia page is the other two members of Muse, Paul McCartney, then another drummer. I wonder if at one point this band was Paul McCartney, Graham Coxon, and then the other two members of Muse, and then Paul McCartney left, and they were like, "Well, let's get Matt Bellamy in," and then the other two members of Muse left. I wonder what this is. Wow, this is quite the super group.
Oh, quite the super group indeed.
So there we go.
I mean, it sounds weird. Anyway, for listeners who aren't aware, for new listeners, of course there are quite a few of you, we should talk about exactly what mod mode is very briefly. So mod mode is something that's going to occur once we reach a certain point on our Patreon. So if you're not a Patreon member and you fancy signing up, patreon.com/guitarnerds. And at that point, we are going to do an entire series where we're going to be adding the most ridiculous mods we can think of to this wonderful sparkle pink Stratocaster, Squire Stratocaster that Mark Packham has bought. I'm kind of gutted that we already picked a guitar with a great finish, because of course finish is one of the things that we're not going to mod. We're going to mod everything else about it. Almost retrospectively, we should have picked something incredibly bland and turned it into something incredibly exciting.
I think, but the thing is, though, refinishing a guitar yourself is just not easy.
No, exactly. No, tell me about it. I've been, I've been painting my decking in my garden over the weekend. That in itself was hard enough to get an easy
finish. Is that polyfinish as well?
Oh, no, nitro. It's only always nitro.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Super flammable nitro.
Yeah, I've done that. Got my fire pit out on it. Gonna settle down after the podcast with a few whiskies. I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, my two-tone sunburst decking. Vintage correct nitro.
Exactly.
That would be the ultimate in guitar nerdery. It's like I've done a sunburst decking.
Yeah, well, I was looking for a new coffee table on Etsy this week, and it's surprising how many, because you get such wonderful like individual sort of artisan things. I want like a live wood coffee table or something cool like that, and there are so many that
what a tree, live wood.
Yeah, like, you call it live. It's called live wood if it's like shaped like a piece of wood from a tree. You know, like a.
What I've done is I've cut down this tree and I've made a table that looks exactly like. A tree.
No. What
like
I've done is
a slice of tree. It's like a slice of tree.
I've redirected the roots from this tree that's been growing outside my house into my living room, and it's taken me 40 years, but I finally got a tree.
The type of material and finish is called live wood. That is the gist of it. But yeah, I was looking around for that. There are surprisingly a lot.
Don't think he appreciated us taking the piss out of his table.
My live wood table. They're expensive, but there are a lot that are like sort of jazz bass guitar tops and everything. And just, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to do that. That is the tackiest thing in the world. But I was surprised to see how many sort of premium priced guitar shaped tables there are sort of available. I think
Fender actually did make a Fender headstock coffee table for a bit. I'm sure it was in the merch catalog at one point.
Yeah, it was, and actually there was one in the office when I started, and wow. I don't know where it went. It's not there anymore. It was in the catalog. Very, very cool. Weird looking.
One thing I have seen, which, yeah, I can't decide if it's cool or not. I don't think it is. But I don't know, maybe.
Are you going to talk about the chopping board?
Nothing guitar-related that isn't a guitar is cool. Like, guitar tattoos aren't cool.
It's a coffee table. There's just a glass cabinet that you can put your prized possession guitar in.
Which I thought
was quite cool. It's a clear-topped guitar case that's also doubles up as a table.
I can get behind that. I mean, that's a big old coffee table, but I can get behind it.
I'm like, I think that'd be quite cool. I always thought the really nice sort of bespoke cabinets that like go on your wall that are like glass cases, I always thought looked kind of cool.
Fender do some of those now.
Yeah, I'm excited about those. I think, yeah, like a real sort of lit display cabinet on a wall for a guitar is kind of a cool thing.
I mean, at one point, I was trying to convince my dad to buy a Fender gas pump. There was for sale at one point. Yeah. I was like, you need to buy the gas pump.
So cool. They were in like every guitar shop for a while.
Yeah, because we actually, or my dad, should I say, has a Wurlitzer jukebox, one of the ones with all the bubbles and everything.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, wow. You definitely need the gas tank.
That's very cool.
And it was like crazy cheap, and then it went instantly, obviously. But yeah, I always thought the gas tanks looked kind of cool. Yeah,
you went through a phase of trying to get your dad to buy all sorts of like guitar. Basically, you were just trying to live vicariously through your
dad. Well, basically, I was like, oh, dad, guitar look, prices.
I found this auction. Why don't you just buy all this stuff? And yeah, don't worry, I'll look after it for you.
Guitar prices, you know, at the time, relatively low. Went up massive. Bubble burst. I would have sold it before the bubble burst, obviously.
Bubble burst.
Yeah. But I think we've definitely missed the point of high value vintage on that. There was definitely a point where it's good, but yeah, now not so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the point of no return, as it's called in Back to the Future 3, which is the windmill. If you're
what?
In anger.
No, I don't.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's the windmill.
Yeah, just get in the fridge and nuclear explosion yourself back to 1985.
Exactly. Now, this week, I've been... So, obviously, I got quite obsessed with plectrums last week. We talked about Hushmid. We talked about Windspear. Gravity, obviously. I have loads of these Gravity plectrums, which I absolutely love. But I got through my chicken picks. I went for the standard, the 2.6mm. Very nice, Matt. Very nice. Sort of weird, like chinery, more chinery than I expected them to be. Like more. Let me see if I can.
What?
There you go. Hear that? It's kind of chinery. That was it dropping into my whiskey glass. Oh shit! This is covered.
Okay, easy as swore.
Oh, sorry.
This but, is not behind the paywall, people.
yes. Sorry. That would be appropriately beat. Anyway, really good. The chicken picks.
I like them. I said last week, great.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Picks. But I've started sort of delving.
Before you carry on, uh-huh. I feel like you opening up about your artisan pick, your newfound artisan pick enthusiasm led to a whole load of discussion from a lot of people being like, yeah, I've also delved into the world of artisan pickery. And loads of people were posting on the group about all the like weird plectrums that they have bought over the last few years.
It's a real rabbit hole. I mean, I recommend you take a quick trip down it. But I've probably spent £40 on plectrums in the last week. So it's
how many
also,
did you buy? Two.
Well, yeah, what did I get? Three chicken picks, one Windspear, a pair of Hushmits, five Gravities. Yeah, so that's, a lot. I mean, they'll all last me a long time, and assuming I don't drop them.
No, they won't. You'll absolutely lose all this stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I absolutely will. But yeah, yes, it's definitely, and there were so many brands that I haven't checked out yet.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff. There's some other cool stuff. Some of the listeners and group members even have their own like little online shops where they make plectrums. And I'm planning to buy a few more, continuing down this route. But it's definitely an expensive thing, comparatively, to get involved in. But I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed exploring how plectrums can be different. I'll send you all the ones I don't like, Jay.
Okay.
See what you think.
Fine.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I moved on into the world of straps this week, and I was kind of trying to look for interesting strap companies. Now, of course, I wanted to find vegan strap companies, and I was like, well, the only ones I really know, as me and Jay have mentioned, are kind of Ryton straps and also Couch straps, who both make fantastic straps. But I just wanted some more choice. I wanted to see what else was out there. So I checked out a few companies, conveniently by simply searching hashtag vegan guitar straps on Instagram, I found there were loads of companies that I didn't know about, which was great. Richter Straps, who make kind of, you know, non-vegan and vegan straps. They have a fantastic broad range of straps. They're sold through Toman, you know, through most major sites. They're certainly the most major company that I checked out. Mark Hoppus, in fact, plays the vegan strap range, which is called Rubber Duck. They actually offer vegan straps in some of their other ranges, but the range I thought was the most interesting was their Rubber Duck series, dear listener. And they're really interesting because they actually have kind of a range. They're very simple and black, but they do the Rubber Duck 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And they're all slightly different, whether they've got kind of a thin tip or a broad tip, or they're a thicker style, or maybe they're a sort of leatherette outer finish.
Yeah. It looks like the Rubber Duck 1, I would say, is probably your kind of vintage Gretsch style strap, that sort of rockabilly strap that's like one sort of normal width pad that goes over the shoulder, but then the very thin strips that go over the jack, not jack plug, strap.
Exactly. And at the other end of that, the 5 is kind of the same thing, but very modern. So where you have the thin strips, you also get the little click in toggles. I don't know what those things are called, you know, like on the back on backpacks.
Oh yeah.
You get those little sort of three,
like a seatbelt style.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So it has those like quick release things with the straps. That's the one that Mark Hoppus has been using recently. But I thought they were great. Like a really interesting range of straps, really nice, you know. Even if vegan straps aren't a thing for you, I think these are a fantastic range of straps. Like really good looking, kind of affordable. Come with their own locking, pieces.
Actually, one thing that's, it's not just that they're vegan. One thing that, and you know, I quite often think about the kind of sustainability of some of these products, and you know, how good they are for the environment. And this is made out of a certified polypropylene that burns to water and can be recycled several times. Huh. So it's not only is it vegan, it's actually fully recyclable as well, which I think is very, very good.
Yeah, they were.
It looks like this company also do a bunch of signature signature straps. So they've got
check that out.
Yeah, well, they've got a Gary Holt. I guess this is a vegan one. It's under the vegan section. So yeah, the Gary Holt strap, who was the maybe still is the guitar player in Exodus and replaced Jeff Hanneman in Slayer. So he's got a signature strap, which is quite cool, quite interesting that they're doing something like that. Millie Petroza, who also is a metal guitar player from the band Creator. Not sure how you pronounce their name, so sorry about that. But yeah, cool that there's a bunch of like kind of metal people with signature vegan guitar straps.
Yeah, they look really good. You can check them out, listener, at richterstraps.com. They're a German company, hence why I guess they're so readily available at Toman, but definitely worth kind of checking out. But I checked out a load more brands too, and the great thing was I checked out big companies like Richter making these cool straps, and these awesome little shops, these little companies with like Etsy shops and things. One of the companies that I thought was great that I think maybe Jay, you'll especially appreciate, or you know, Matt, you'll certainly appreciate too. I just thought these were very, very cool and a bit more fun, a bit less sort of, you know, metally maybe than the Richter straps, was Cat Strap Fever.
Yes.
Very, very cool, very small. Found them on Instagram, only 157 followers, and my goodness, they should have more. They've they run purely off of a little Etsy shop, but my goodness, the strap range that they offer on that store is absolutely fantastic.
What is the name of this company?
It's Cat Strap Fever. Cat Strap Fever.
I strap, put a little, of course. Because we're talking about straps.
Yeah, Cat Strap. Yeah. There's a little link in the podcast document for this week, but yes, they're they are.
Oh yeah. You've prepped this. You've prepped this really well. I hadn't even noticed. It's because I don't really pay attention.
Yes, I have.
Do.
In fact, I prepped it so well that actually I was going to talk about all their strap range, but in the time from when I checked this out to now, they've put a note up on their Etsy site saying, "Hi, thanks for checking out my shop. I'm taking a short break, but we'll be back soon." Well, there you go. That's live podcasting for you. But they certainly did do, and as you can see from their Instagram and listener, I thoroughly recommend checking it out. Cat Strap Fever on Instagram. They do a fantastic range of really cool, interesting straps.
About Cat Strap Fever, handmade guitar straps now with added cats.
Yes, they.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
They're very cool. They're very cool. They were very similar to Coco Straps. Who I thought were a fantastic, another little company. Now these guys have only just started up again an Etsy shop, again vegan straps, Coco Guitar Straps on Instagram. 10 followers. That's it.
Made in Reading.
Despite that very, very small following, a fantastic and unbelievably substantial range of straps that all look wonderful on their Etsy store. Some incredible things, including their horses and cowgirl strap, which I thought looked absolutely fantastic. So these are your standard width cork-tipped straps, all with very unique and interesting designs, from kind of clouds to cactuses to...
I really like the clouds. That first clouds one that's up on there, like blue and white one, is really, really nice.
They've got some great. I'm a big fan of their bees. Their flamingo strap is what I'm thinking about getting. Now I was going to say,
I would make sure that if you're thinking about getting, you get it before.
There's only one left.
Before the podcast goes out, because there's only one left. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, boys, like I really loved all these straps that I checked out. But you know, if you guys, I am well up for getting everyone a strap. So if there's something on here that you would like, I will purchase you a strap. I'm going to get this flamingo one.
Yes, there is a fantastic black strap with pink clouds on it. I want that one.
Nice. You want that one, yeah? I see. It's a ukulele strap.
Is it? No, it's not. There's a guitar strap. Further down.
Ah, there's a guitar strap
there's
version.
Lots of straps on here.
Oh my goodness, there are so
many. I like the Planets one. That's cool, isn't it?
Do you want the Planets one?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't put me on the spot, Joe. I can't handle it. It's too much pressure. I need to have a look. Find something cool.
Oh, I found the black one with clouds, Matt. Okay, I'll get that one.
Jay, right. there's a...
That one's yours.
There's a denim one here with the word legend on it.
I did see that. And I did think, yeah, that's me. Denim legend. Absolutely. Like, I can't get that.
All right, shall I get that? These straps are absolutely fantastic. Yeah. They look incredible. Listener, I thoroughly recommend you checking them out. You can find them on Instagram at Coco Guitar Straps, or you can check them out on their Etsy shop at Coco Guitar Straps as well. They have such a fantastic range of straps. Just really cool.
I'm putting out there,
Reading, UK.
2021, year of the fancy strap.
Well, yes, and why not? Now, continue. I've got like two more brands that I want to talk about. So at the moment, I'm bearing in mind. So it's Pink Clouds for you, Matt. Jay, you're still choosing.
Just in case you come up with something better.
Yeah,
there you go.
More expensive. Yeah. Okay, so let's have a look at.
I'm trying to bankrupt Joe.
The next one I want to talk about is Native Sons. So you can check them out at Native Sons Goods. .com. What I really liked about this range of vegan straps is they went for kind of traditional imitation, so it's like it's leatherette or it's suedette, if that's what you call them, sort of leather imitation and suede imitation tipped straps with like these gorgeous like thick woven strap material. Now you can either get them in kind of just a simple kind of tawny thick weave finish, or they do wonderful kind of traditional designs, whether that be stripes or those sort of more regal curtain patterns or leaves and things like that. It's all mosaics and that sort of design.
It's very I don't know if it's 1950s, it's not the kind of vibe.
No,
it's sort
definitely
of like 1960s,
1950s,
sort of.
Yeah. Yes, it's definitely more 60s.
That kind of real vintage strap style. Mm. This kind of strap that you would find in a old 60s guitar case. Yeah. Secondhand.
I, I love these straps because for me personally, these are the straps that I don't have access to if I don't want to, you know, buy a leather product, because so often with kind of vegan straps, you end up having to get really sort of like fun modern straps, and I want something subtle and traditional, and these straps certainly offer that sort of that kind of traditional design. They come in sort of a thick shoulder pad and a sort of more standard width as well, but there are some lovely things there. I really like the Maverick, which is their padded material strap, which they offer in like a turquoise and a rust, as well as kind of a range of finishes as well. The rust is like this, you know, sort of gorgeous orangey red that I'm a big fan of. I think that might well be my favorite strap in that range, but those are really good as well. US company,
Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm surprised they haven't done a Breaking Bad style strap.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. The only thing anyone's ever heard of that.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Place for, I imagine.
Yeah. Well,
certainly,
mate,
over
calm
here.
Down.
Certainly for me, but
crikey.
Yeah, and
like the
okay.
Albuquerque isotopes.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
From The Simpsons.
I see. And the last company I want to talk about is Moonflower Music, who again, tiny little company, only started since the COVID-19
I thought you were going to say since this podcast. Since we started recording this podcast, we've only just started making straps.
Like a wonderful company that has started since COVID-19. Just a couple who make a lovely range of straps that you can check out on moonflowermusic.co. But yeah, really simple kind of suede-esque tipped straps in some lovely kind of simple duck eggs and sort of flower designs as well. So kind of more poppy and fun. But yeah.
Yeah, I think they're really nice.
Yeah, really cool.
This week, Guitar Nerds are teaming up with Echoline Pedals to offer you a £10 discount voucher across their entire line of pedals. This awesome range of British-built boutique effects boxes have been a Guitar Nerds favourite since we first discovered their gloriously transparent overdrive, the Roadrunner, 5 years ago. Recently, Echoline Pedals have relaunched and expanded their entire range, now available in a more compact, pedalboard-friendly chassis and with an unbelievable pre-discount starting price of £119. Still handmade in the UK using the finest new old stock and top quality components, Echoline's range of drives, distortions, fuzzes and boosts are some of the sonically best pedals we have ever heard. They come with a full Guitar Nerds endorsement, and we strongly recommend taking the plunge on one of these boxes. For details and to shop online, check out echolinepedals.com and use discount code ILOVEGUITARNERDS at the checkout for £10 off any pedal in their range. Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com, and by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK. Have you checked out the latest Ball Family Reserve Collection from Ernie Ball Music Man? BFR is a celebration of Ernie Ball's heritage in instrument craftsmanship, which features some of the finest figure tone woods and finishes available. These rare pieces are offered in limited production runs and allow the public access to instruments previously reserved for family and loyal artists. This month features the Bongo in Wild Cherry Burst, the Majesty in Blue Steakhouse, and the Valentine in Target Burst. Learn more about where to get yours at music-man.com/BFR.
So what do you think? What was your favourite out of all of those?
I like the... I thought the cat's very good. Cat camo, I thought, was a very fun material.
Yeah. You've got to wait for those to come back around, I guess, now.
But I must say the Coco straps, I thought, nice. I thought really nice. Good price. £32.50.
In pounds,
standard, yeah, £32.50. Lots of nice materials, finishes, something, bit of something for everyone. Whether you're a metal player or, you know, not a metal player,
or not. Those are the two options.
They are the two options. You know, just no chains with any of these, unfortunately. Oh, look, there's one with cocktails on it. White Russian. That's one for you, isn't it, Joe? You want the cocktail strap with all the different...
No, it's got milk in it, mate.
Oh, yeah, you can't have a White Russian. No, you could have one with oat milk.
I could do that.
Vegan White Russian.
Yeah.
Swap it out for tomato juice. It's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, I think they're all really good, but Coco guitar straps, I think, for me, seems to stand out as a nice one.
Yeah, it's cool, and they're local as well, which is nice.
I always like to
bump up against the local brand, so that's really nice. Yeah, good find, Joe. Sounds like you had a productive week.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was really good. Yes, I enjoyed checking out all the straps. Now I want to kind of talk about this guitar build that we're doing at the moment with Guitar Assembly. So, you know, originally we'd asked for people to suggest just body shapes for us to then kind of mull over and maybe put to you in a poll. But we had one suggestion that really stood out from Alan Brunette, who suggested a guitar that we felt was just so good and so thoroughly presented that we thought, well, maybe we should just bypass all this stuff and make this.
Basically, ignoring all other suggestions. Yeah. You've hit all of the Guitar Nerds plus points. Oh, exactly. Basically made it pink.
He made it a Relic Shell Pink, single TV Jones in the bridge, one volume controlled T-style guitar with a roasted maple neck and board. You know, he even put the Guitar Nerds logo on the headstock. Lovely little button tuners. And most importantly, a track, as in a... Did we speak about this briefly on the podcast the other week?
I think we did. We were sort of debating whether it is scalloped or a track or...
A scalloped track area running through the middle of the guitar to prevent heavy strumming resulting in smacking the sides of the guitar. And, you know,
it's almost like a competition stripe that's actually
in the guitar.
I like it. I think someone on the group, Vincent J. Ives, said, at least give it a kill switch or some furry dice. Now, I actually would like some furry dice on there. I think that would look quite cool, hanging off the strap button or the headstock.
Well, we can do that.
But yeah, I think the question is, how deep is the guitar and how deep is the potential track? Yeah, like, will I be able to run my Hot Wheels underneath it?
I think that the track, the deepest point of the track is the width, the standard width of a guitar, and everything else is just bigger. I reckon you could...
Really?
No, of course not. No, that's terrible. I don't know.
I'm up for this. A T-style guitar as deep as an ES-175 with a track in it.
I think, because it kind of looks like there's a bit of a German carve on it, which I don't think there is. I think it's just the way that maybe the body's presented or it's shaded. Mm. I think if it was tracked like a German carve almost... You know, that I think that would look kind of cool. Yeah. It definitely needs some fairy dice or something, like a kill switch, a button.
Self-destruct button. Matty, you are absolutely you've just turned into Homer and the car.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. What you've done is you've just gone, so here's the options. Yeah, and you've just ticked everything. You've just said, someone's come up to you and you've said, right, here's all the possible options you can have on your guitar, and you've just said yes. You've just said, I want that. Thanks. Yeah, lovely.
When you've got it all, you know, you need to just go all out.
So the only thing, what we're going to do is we're going to come up with some headstock, because headstock's a big thing. We've got to create our own Guitar Nerds headstock. So I'm going to pop a few silhouette headstocks into the Facebook group and on our Patreon group over the next few days. And listeners, if you could help us out, choose the best one, that would be absolutely fantastic. We also do have to decide, so in the image provided by Alan, it has a TV Jones style Filtertron pickup, but he has mentioned in the description of the guitar that he also provided that a P90 would also be sweet. And so I guess we have to decide whether we go sort of full Cabernet with this or whether we introduce a P90 as a different thing.
I would go Seymour Duncan, BG 1400, Billy Gibbons, stacked single coil. Then it's just like the Esquire I used to have. That's the dream.
Oh, yeah. We can't have the Teddy Bridge.
You can.
No, you can't. It will cut into the... We have to have it.
Yes,
has to be
course.
P90 humbucker or a TV Jones, and out of those, I'd discount the humbucker because it's not very us. I think sort of TV Jones or P90 really needs to be.
TV Jones is very, very cool. Headstock wise, I must admit, for me, one of my favourite headstocks
BC
is
Rich.
The Music Man one. Four and two. Yeah, three aside would be weird.
I like that. If this was me, I'd go for the old sort of snake headstock. I appreciate
that,
no one else.
Would that have a channel as well?
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. Oh, we'll suggest some headstock options anyway.
And I think a different logo on the headstock. I'd put the glasses on the 12th fret as an inlay.
Oh, nice.
And then, I'd have something else on the headstock.
Guitar Nerds written logo on the headstock, maybe. Okay, yeah. We'll have to have a think about it. What do you think, Jay, pickups-wise? Would you go P90 or would you go for Delatron?
I'd probably go P90. I have always preferred that to a kind of TV Jones-style sound. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, that's down to me being a punk oik. I think I've just always preferred that. So I'd probably go with that, but, you know, I'm also, I appreciate this is democracy. I'm open to all suggestions.
Well, I'm kind of with you, Jay. I think, you know, I love the sound of a P90. I think tonally, I'm in P90 camp. I think aesthetically, I love how cabernetery this guitar is. And so I'm kind of in the TV Jones camp for that. But I think tonally, I'd rather have a P90. Matt, where are you? You think TV Jones over P90?
TV Jones. And I just had a brilliant idea.
Yeah, go on then, Matt.
hear me out, right? Oh, volume control. I was going to say laser beam, but then that was just a... No. basically, one thing I think is wicked is if you pull the volume control out, bypasses the volume control completely, wires it straight to the output jack for a little bit of a boost. I think that's worth doing. Okay, I mean, I've got that on my telly. Weird.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think it just makes them super bright, super sort of in your face. I don't know. P90s. I mean, I like P90s, but I think it would suit a... maybe mahogany body guitar better. I think the TV Jones kind of... I'm assuming we'd probably go for an older or ash body, maybe. And I think the TV Jones kind of just brings out some of the sort of niceness of that sort of body wood compared to a P90.
Yeah, I guess I could be convinced. We'll have to wait for Mark Packham to reappear and then we'll ask him.
One choice could be, which we did talk a little bit about last week, so we won't go into too much detail, Rauhammer pickups, which are the ones that are in the Reverends. So you've got the bottom three are rails, bottom three strings are a rail type pickup, and the top three strings are the
hammers,
pole pieces are the hammers.
I could definitely get behind that. I could absolutely get behind it. I tell you what, I would have to, you know, find out sort of how much. Because ideally, obviously, we're going to have Guitar Assembly build these pickups. And I wonder if Reverend actually have the monopoly on that pickup design before we start sort of doing that. Because we're not going to put pickups in this. We're going to have them built. So, and I think Reverend might well kind of own that as a concept.
Is it string through body? Would we do string through body or would it string through the bridge?
It would string through the bridge for me.
Yeah, I like that. I like it.
Okay, cool.
I just couldn't tell. locking machine heads.
I mean, Matt, it can Floyd do whatever Rose. We want. Yeah, we can have locking. We can do a Floyd Rose.
Why can we do LED body Rose? Binding around the body? Yeah.
No, yes. LED body, mate. LED body.
LED body, yeah, yes.
The body is one massive LED. It's actually something that we've nabbed from a lighthouse.
Fender
well, it's
did
lovely
actually
to
do...
have you on your last podcast with us, Matt, this week.
I'm going to start my own podcast. Crazy guitars nerds.
Right,
Fender actually did do an LED guitar once for Duran Duran. There was a custom shop LED Strat that linked up to a computer that then basically it had like 200 LEDs underneath, and it basically made a bunch of swirling colored patterns in time with the visuals behind the screen on the stage show as well.
Oh wow. That is impressive.
Yeah.
That is very impressive. Now, guys, we're so far through this podcast and we haven't even got through the intro yet. But
well, just before you finish the intro, I think we should just take a moment to, I mean, by the time he hears this, it will be late, but we should just give a quick shout out to quick happy birthday to the host of the world's number one pizza podcast, Blake Wyland of the Tone Mob podcast, whose birthday is today.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're into pizza and stuff, Blake does this really good podcast where he just interviews people from the world of pizza and sometimes other areas of food as well. I think he's like had burger people on there and you know, sushi chefs and stuff as well. But yeah, really great podcast, really nice guy, and this one goes out to Blake.
In about a month, there's an episode of the Friday Special coming out with me and Blake. And Jay, you might regret saying that, because when I asked him about the pedals that he thought were the most impressive that he's seen over the last few months, he cited Fender pedals exclusively, almost as being...
Why would I regret what I just said? I mean, he would he is absolutely doing everything he can to get out of the world of doing guitar podcasts and move into the world. He wants to be the new Adam Richman, you know what I mean? Like, he just wants to go around and like just check out pizza from around the world. So like, you know, I regret nothing.
Almost definitely true. I noticed that recently the Tone Mob Instagram page has started posting more about his new weightlifting stuff that he bought the other day to move a gym to home. In fact, I'm sure some of the podcast was taken up by him talking about his gym routine as well. So.
Very different type of shred shed, that is.
Absolutely. Now, Matt, you actually bought a new speaker last week as well.
I did, on the never-ending hunt for tone. Yes, I decided... I got really into... a little YouTube channel by our friends over at Zilla Cabs. They have, I think they've been doing it for a while, but they've kind of, they've sort of upped their game in terms of camera quality and audio recording quality. And they're just doing a lot of like speaker comparisons, which is something that you don't really get. You know, they've kind of, you know, set up in a way that gives you a fair comparison between different speakers, edited, quite nicely together. And I started seeing loads about Celestion Redback, which is a relatively new speaker from Celestion. I think maybe this year, maybe last year. Definitely wasn't at the NAMM we were at last year. And obviously we'd spoke before about the Neo Creamback and their Copperback, which is their other Neo speaker, which is super high powered neodymium speaker, which I think is supposed to go up against things like the EV speakers, just a really high handling but obviously incredibly lightweight, which I got. And you know, it wasn't bad. It didn't pair particularly well with some of the other speakers I was using. I think it would work really well just on its own, especially if you're maybe using something like I mean, they make a full range speaker for Kemper, but like a Kemper, or even if you're going to use it in like a Katana, or even if you're going to use it something like DV Mark or Quilter, you know, something solid state, super, super clean. And recently, because my Morgan PR12 had to go in for a service, I've been exclusively just kind of moving over to using the Olsen amp. And I was like, it's never really messed around too much with the gain channel. I've always sort of stuck with the clean channel. Started watching this Zilla YouTube channel and I'm like, man, this Celestion Redback sounds awesome. It goes up really well against loads of real high-powered speakers, loads of clean headroom. But also for high-gain stuff, it's got that kind of great Celestion character. So I spoke to the guys at Celestion and they sorted me out a nice deal. And I got it in. I've been trying it all weekend, and I gotta say it's a great speaker. Loads of people in the group were asking me to kind of do some videos on it, but basically it's a 100-watt speaker, so loads of loads of power handling, oversized voice coil with a really big magnet on it, so it weighs a ton, which is fine for me because I'm never going to take it anywhere outside of the home studio. But what's great is, you know, if you've got a high-powered guitar amp head, or you use a big combo like a Mesa Boogie, that's a great speaker replacement because obviously a lot of Greenbacks are 25 watts, Creambacks are 65 watts, so loads of power. But if you're using a underpowered head, you've got loads of headroom. And when I'm using an EV speaker, which is like 200 watts, that speaker just overpowers everything else. So this was a really good balance for using the Olsen amp's little hill with loads of gain, or loads of gain from a pedal, and it just kind of maintaining a bunch of clarity but at low volumes. It's really a speaker worth checking out, especially if you're looking at just doing a 1x12 cab. I think if you're doing a 2x12, it would probably be too heavy. But as a 1x12 speaker replacement, it's wicked. If you want to maintain that sort of green back character but a lot more sort of power handling.
It's one of the things that I always think of the last thing as being something to shape my tone.
I remember having conversations about this before with an amp tech, and I would never say, I kind of look to set the amp and the speaker as the bass tone and then have everything else affect that. So rather than going, oh, the thing I'm missing is this frequency response from a speaker, but actually going, how does the amp sound just with the speaker, and then obviously using other things to embellish it, because actually there's bigger things that you can do to an amp to change the feel and the sound. And the biggest one is change the transformers.
That's a lot less practical than changing the speaker.
It is, absolutely. Speaker is obviously a very good thing that you can change very, very quickly.
Aren't you just better off buying a different amp though? In what situation is changing the transformer better than just buying a different amp?
I thought you were going to talk about speaker.
No, not different speaker.
Well, I think that's why you get a lot of amps that just got upgraded transformers already, like a lot of boutique stuff. But I think, but then again, one of the most popular set of modifications for a Blues Junior is put a different transformer in it and change a bunch of stuff on the circuit board. And I think you kind of have to look at the transformer as like the heart of the amp. And obviously the more efficient it runs, the better it runs, the better it's going to drive your guitar signal. But obviously, yes, that is an impractical mod to do yourself if you're not into electronics, obviously. They're not wildly expensive. They're only going to be as much as a speaker. But then obviously you've got to pay someone to fit it. I guess in some ways you could look at a different amp. But if you've got an amp that you love the sound of, but you don't necessarily want to drastically kind of take it a million miles away from what it already is, you're not turning a Fender into a Marshall, you're just turning a Fender into a more beastly Fender, I guess, as it were. It is not the most obviously practical of changes, but speaker is a nice thing to do. And I think if you're into high gain playing, this is definitely a speaker worth going for. But actually for clean stuff, I found it really good. Again, just because it's got such high headroom, you can't really break it up. And I don't want my speakers to break up. I want them to stay super clean. So with the Olsen, which is just 20 watts, it's been brilliant. In fact, as I did post in the group, I've just been enjoying two channels on the amp, a couple of delay pedals. That's it, in the effects loop. I'm like,
I saw this and I was maybe very surprised.
I just needed to go back to basics.
Back to the future.
I mean, yeah, back to the future. Not that using an effects loop and two delay pedals and is absolutely basic. But the nice thing I was saying about on this post on the Facebook group is that with the Olsen amps, it's not a two-channel amp. It's basically two amps in one. So they have their own set of circuits. So they're, voiced to complement each other, but you're not sharing EQ or anything like that. And the drive channel is just monstrous. And I just wanted something with a bit more speaker handling than the cream back that was already in there. So definitely a speaker worth checking out. And I also like the fancy colour red. I think it's a very nice red. loads of people asked me to do a demo in the group, which I will get round to doing. I've got something that might potentially help with that on the way. So hopefully I'll be able to do some videos soon. Just trying to think about the best way to do it and try and mic stuff up. I'm not very good at miking up speaker cabs. But I guess if it's just for a YouTube, Facebook stream, it's not too bad, I guess.
What mics do you have at home?
SM57.
Oh, you just got 57.
That's all I have.
I see. I could definitely send you, something better for you to use.
SM58.
What, it's one better?
Yeah, one better.
SM59.
Two better. Yeah.
The Electro Voice RE20, I think, is probably the best mic on the market at the moment for miking up cabs. And listeners, this is actually, I tell you what, just as a brief mention, in a month's time, I'm going to be running a separate series of Guitar Nerds. It's all about home recording, where I'm going to be talking to a number of producers, because I do a lot of it here and I have a lot of equipment specifically for home recording. And recently, actually, I spoke to the guys about talking about home recording setups on the podcast, and Jay in fact suggested that because it was such a massive topic, we should maybe deal with it separately. So I'm going to be there'll be a whole podcast about what I think about home recording, and just some hints and tips for people maybe thinking about in these sort of turbulent times focusing
I'm
on their home
super
recording
excited
setup.
For that, it's something that I've really wanted to get into now that I'm at home, based at home, and I've got all this stuff here. I'm like, I should just record some stuff. I've had the Spire, which has been great, and it's been really good for laying down all the ideas, just kind of like a quick notepad. And I'm like, now I need to put proper pen to paper and actually and just put some music out there. And even if like one person listens to it.
I actually think even from a professional standpoint, the Spire is an incredible acoustic guitar,
absolutely.
Mic, which stands up against the best of them. So, you know, I certainly think if you use that in along with maybe something on the fretboard, you know, something lighter on the fretboard, even like a 57 in collaboration with a Spire, you get some incredible results. I think it's really, really good. But yeah, voice. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I'm really looking forward to you doing that, Joe. And actually, I will, Shock Horror, I will actually probably listen to it because it is it's something that I get asked about quite a lot by just like my friend. And actually, especially over the last few months, it's something that I get asked about a lot because it's like, oh yeah, you know a lot about guitars. How can I record a good demo at home? And it's an area that I can't even blag because I know nothing about. And I need someone else to do the research for me so that I can just repeat it and pretend I know what I'm talking about, which is, you know, as you lot know, all of my guitar knowledge. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it would be great. I mean, I have almost, it is nearly a terabyte hard drive full of plugins. I have thousands of pounds spent in plugins. And then, you know, things like mic stuff, like the Electro Voice RE20, things like the Shure SM7B. Like I do think those two are kind of interchangeable as like an essential mic that you can get around the room with. I want to talk about things like Neumann and their offerings as well, because they've done some fantastic affordable options as well. And then you've got like the pre-owned market, companies like SE that came before Astin, that you can pick up some of their filters and things like that, some of their shock mounts and stuff for really reasonable prices. So there's so much stuff. But yes, as a very brief thing, Matt, I could definitely send you an Electro Voice RE20, which I think would be a fantastic mic for getting a real honest kind of amp response on a recording.
And I think I want to do a bit more sort of live streaming in the group, and you know, sort of a few more hangouts in there, so that might be quite good. And yeah, I've had a few bits turn up in the last few months that would be good to kind of show off. So which actually I should give a shout out to Marcus Deluxe, his little Guitar Nerds demo board.
I didn't ask
today.
You. The reason I hadn't mentioned this was because I realized before we recorded, I hadn't asked you if it actually turned
up
to you
today.
Yes, it
did. it's a little pedal board, big enough for two pedals angled at such that you can sort of have them almost
presented.
Like presented, yes, yeah, to camera rather than just sort of top down. It's sat on top of my desk at the moment, on top of speaker. It's pink, so I've put my pink Boss DD3 on it. And I think it'll be, again, great for doing some demos and some sort of live streaming stuff as well. So looking forward to spending some time and doing that.
But also, listener, if you want to get like a value for money pedal board, you know, sort of small, lovely, like reclaimed wood pedal boards, then Marcus Deluxe, which is Marcus with a C, and then Deluxe, DLUXE, Marcus Deluxe, one word, on Instagram. You'll find some absolutely fantastic bits and bobs there, and you can message him direct and pick yourself up a board. They are very cool indeed.
Nice.
Now, before we finish this podcast, we are nearing the end. I think we should aim to get at least one piece of news in. So let's do some news.
News!
Jake Ross. I figure we should let you do the single piece of news for this week.
Okay, so this is actually a guitar that was announced at Winter NAMM, and I have to say it completely passed me by. I didn't know about the announcement at all. I hadn't seen anything about it up until now. Sterling by Music Man have released a signature guitar for Jared Dines. And it looks really, really nice. I mean, essentially, it is a Stingray in black with gold hardware, which is often a kind of aesthetic that I'm not really into. But I think this looks really nice. I think it looks really classy. It's got a concentric volume and tone. It's also got a kill switch built in, which is very cool, and two humbuckers. So like a really kind of familiar feeling instrument, but with some neat little bits and bobs there. It looks really good. I have to say, I guess rather embarrassingly, I not being that au fait with like guitar YouTube, I didn't realize quite how popular he was. And when I said that to Matt and Joe last week, they thought I was taking the piss. but I was not. Yes, very popular person. I think this is a cool bit of gear. It looks great. I think it looks really classy.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. He's gone for one of the weird things about it is he's gone for, because he's a bit of a shreddy style player. He's gone for 24 frets.
Yeah,
and the Stingray doesn't traditionally have that amount of frets. So it's kind of having those extra frets has pushed that neck humbucker deeper into the body, so there's less space between the bridge and the neck humbucker. Also a Strat Trem on there as well. But yeah, I like that he's doing a similar thing to like what Stephen Egerton's done with his Music Man signature, mm-hmm. which is keep that Stingray control plate, but with hardly any controls. Of course, the Egerton has
anything,
no controls.
It?
No, exactly. Zero controls, which is so cool looking. But I guess the Dustin Kensrue also, I think that just had like a volume.
I think that's just volume, yeah.
But I love the idea of this big oversized, because it's quite a sizable control plate to then have very little on it. I think that's a really cool aesthetic.
I've not seen it for sale anywhere in the UK yet. $699.
Really? God. That's really cool for the price point.
I think you know, he's got 2.83 million subscribers.
Yeah, it's quite a lot, isn't it, really? Probably something I should have known, but you know,
it's more than us.
It's more than us.
Yeah, it's more than us. But I think what's nice is they've gone down the Sterling route to make it more affordable for his kind of audience as well. I think if you maybe gone down the really expensive route, maybe it would have priced a lot of people out. Mm. You know, it's got a lot of followers. I think it's something to nice to have something so accessible.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going at that price point.
And it's a really cool, really good looking guitar in its own right as well, which I think is kind of important, you know. Mm-hmm. It transcends just the Jared Dines audience, which is obviously quite substantial anyway. But yeah, very cool indeed. Well, that pretty much that brings us to the end of the free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast for this week. You can, of course, listen to more of this podcast over on our Patreon at patreon.com/guitar nerds, where we're going to be taking questions from the Facebook group this week. We're going to head over there in a minute. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month gets you the regular podcast that we're recording now, ad-free and early. And then at the $5 tier, you get access to all our Patreon specials that we're just going to go and record, and the whole back catalogue of everything we've recorded before. And at the $10 tier, you get all of those things, plus I'll sing your name in a song at the end, which would be just fantastic. You can, of course, follow us on any of the social platforms with @GuitarNerds. And join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Help us pick a headstock for this guitar. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Ty Allen and Yogi, the guitarist, Modi, Modius, Kyle Harris, Crowd Lifter, Todd Simon's Riddick, Westwell, Joe Hubbard, Sean Hughes, and Michael Rowe, Brian Hanson, Satan, Jumpy Wax, Eric Emma, Samuel Foster, Brian Hensler, Gavin Randall, Lindy, Diego McGee, Scott Harding, Robert Butterwood, Simon Milbourne, Marcus South, Kerouaki, the guitar nerds, the guitar nerds.
Lottery, Zurich, Fire, Andrew Good, Joe Puttick, Merritt, Peaches, Richard, Samuel, Jacob Moore, Jamie Kemp, and Ken Savis, Adrian Day, Sean Arbo, John Angus, Robert Dool, Dr. Ramadan, Andy Cooper, and Rod Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, and David Lee, Matt Bellamy, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Weiland, Christopher Lawson, and Zam. Derek Rich and Rob Nordwick, Steve Merkel, J.D. Short and Robin Swin, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Scott O'Brien, Paul Cooper, Oregon, Wilter, and Luke Gravitt, the guitar.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.